up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked down on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 40 and two children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. Now that's all an interesting story, but verse 25 is kind of interesting to me. After all that, and all these young men tore up by these bears, he just left town and went about his business. That wouldn't hardly happen today, but no, it wouldn't happen today. Well, I want to speak to you for a while on a prophet, a street gang, and two bears. And that's what we have. Elisha was the man of God for that period of time. We find that the power of God had rested on Elisha in chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what shall I do for thee before I be taken away from thee? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. He got his answer. I'll tell you, as far as prophecy and preaching goes, it's all in the hands of God. It's all in the power of God. Elijah had no say-so in the matter as far as how much power would lie on Elisha. No say-so whatsoever. He told him, if you see me, depart, and that'll be God's answer. And that you'll have a double portion. And beloved, that's what happened. So Elisha, without any doubt or controversy whatsoever, is God's man. And I believe they're relatively easy to pick out God's men by what they preach and so forth. You know, there are different kinds of speakers. There's big preachers and little preachers and loud preachers and soft-spoken preachers, all kinds of preachers in that respect. But one thing God's preachers have in common is the power of God that rests upon them. And the only way that you can preach the truth of God's word is that the power of God rests upon you. So here among the people of God, we find God's man chosen by God without any question whatsoever. And Elisha demonstrated that time and time again as we read through this part of God's word. Elisha, for some 50 years, was in that position. He wasn't a fly-by-night preacher, a fly-by-night prophet, but God called him, God put him there, and through thick and thin, he remained a prophet there among Israel. Now, Elisha performed many miracles. We read in the Word of God, you recall him raising the Shunammite's son, in that great miracle. He healed the waters of the river. He provided water for a thirsty army. He retrieved an axe head out of the water. A fellow had borrowed that axe, and the head came off, and Elisha spanked through that stick in the water, and that axe head swam. For years, I wanted to preach a message on that. And I'd look at that, and nothing would come to my mind. A great story. I mean, the power of God finally, after a long time, a lot of years, I preached a message on that. And I don't think much got anything out of it. I thought, well, there has to be something there. You know, that's got to preach. But that was a miracle, a great miracle of God. You know, however you want to look at it. The walls of Jericho didn't fall down flat. And the Red Sea wasn't parted, but an axe head swam. And it took just as much power of God to cause that as it did anything else. But Elisha was involved in a lot of miracles, showing all of the people that the power of God now rested upon him. Now, he was heading toward Bethel. Now, Jeroboam had placed a calf, a golden calf. Well, people don't learn, do they? Remember the golden calves that they had there at the foot of the mountain? Moses went up to speak to God, and they got to have golden calves. Well, here they are again. Same thing. You and I, we don't learn either. Sometimes, do we? We don't learn time and time again the same mistakes. Well, here's this calf. There's one in Dan, and there's one in Bethel. Bethel, which means the house of God. Making it even worse to have this idol erected there. And they didn't think anything about it. You know, what gets into people when we don't think anything about rebelling against God? What gets into us? What gets into our mind? When God's people will be so callous as far as the truth of the Word of God is concerned. They may have thought, oh, you know, it's just a small thing. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't change the truth. Well, the whole time that these calves were in Bethel and in Dan, there were some children that were growing up among the people of God that I believe is one of the results of what happened in our text.
Right.
You know, somewhere along the line, people have gotten it, not all people, some people have gotten the idea that truth is just for the older people, and they'll even sit down and decide how much truth the young people ought to be exposed to and how much not. That's dangerous. You know, I've thought for a long time, if you can send a kid to school and they can learn all of this math and all of this history and all that they learn in school, why can't they learn about the Word of God? And why does some of the Word of God need to be hid from them? You know, it might be that young people, in some cases, are the way that they are because they haven't been taught. And I think that's most likely so. You don't have to decide what's good enough for your child or your grandchild, and you don't have to decide what is too far advanced for them. You know, we get in our mind that, well we got to stop here. You know, can't go any further. They'll learn that some other time. I find in the Bible where they were taught at home, and they were commanded to teach at home, and they were taught in public, and they were all taught the same thing. A lot of people don't know anything. The older people don't know anything, and the younger people don't know anything. You go someplace, you are well educated in the Word of God. And I know that, and I understand that. And I believe that. And thank God for that. And the reason that is was that there has not been anything held back. Some of you grew up here. You were born here and you grew up here and you've heard these things your whole lives. Thank God. But now in Bethel and in Dan, you know, we're going to do things the easy way. And you know, we don't need to do things the way they were done before. We're going to do things different now. And it's going to make it easier to set these calves up. And, you know, we'll just worship through them. Well, there's some young men here, I believe, suffered the consequences because of that. And it shows us what a false view of God and His Word can do to the minds of young people. When I grew up, I had a false view because of what I was taught about God. The God that saved me and the God that educated me was a different God. A far different God than I'd heard of growing up, that my parents told me about, and that those Methodist preachers told me about. He was a different God. It was shocking to me who God really was. Was that the case here in Bethel? Well, Elisha had just witnessed the rapture of Elijah. And he's going to go to Bethel and he's going to go to other places and tell of the great rapture of Elijah. I'd seen him carried off in that whirlwind and in that fiery chariot. The horses of the Lord have come and picked him up and carried him off. And he sees Elijah going up into the heavens. And he's going to be a witness of that in Bethel. And of course, other things. So, he comes into town, or he's on his way into town. Here came forth all of these young men. It says little children, but they were young men. Teenage gang, I believe. Street gang. And I'll tell you, there's nothing good comes out of a street gang. You say what you want to and sing what you want to. It's an abomination what these people sing about gangs. It's an absolute abomination that young people listen to. Older people don't listen to it because they can't understand it. And older people know what it's about, so they don't want to hear it anyway. Gangs. Let's go out and kill some cops, or let's go out and rape some women. And that's what they listen to. Gang violence. I read where 1.3 million Americans are involved in some kind of gang. Now, is that serious or what? I couldn't believe the number was that big. And that didn't come out of the Bible, so it might not be. But that's what it says. I'm sure it's large. I'm sure that Chicago is pretty much a gang. There's nothing good to come out of gangs, and certainly God's people ought to speak out against them and warn their children against gangs. How easy for the young people to become involved in things like that. First of all, they need to be taught some things at home. And I don't mean just once and that's it. I've done my duty as a parent and I've told them one time, and if they get in trouble, it's their own fault. I mean, they need to be taught. One thing they can teach their children about gangs is that God is against gangs. And the fact that all of these young men met up with these bears is evidence that God is against gangs. How many times does God have to tear up and kill this many young people to say that he's against gangs? God's against them. Therefore, we ought to be against them. And ought to speak out against them. And stand with those who are against gangs. Gangs are destroying this country. I dare say there's places down here in Winston-Salem that you all wouldn't go tonight because of gangs. Gangs like this. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And that does not mean that if you train your child up right, that they're going to be perfect. And that does not mean that your child is not capable of going off into sin. That does not mean that your child might not join a gang. That does mean that that will be in their minds and they'll never forget that they've been taught.
Amen.
They won't depart from it in that way. And you will have done your duty as a parent. That'll stand against the child. That won't stand against you. You know, young people, very young people, walk around with these headphones in, and there's a lot of parents don't even know what they're listening to. They don't have a clue. You know, take the headphones off and see what they're listening to. And if it's got that gang stuff on there, then get rid of it. Too much of the glorifying of sin and these gangs. In Psalm 78, notice there. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. That's not something too mystical for children. Because he goes on to say, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. You know, the younger people need to understand they can learn a great deal from older people. There's some older people here tonight that have seen some things and experience some things. And they hold great value and wealth in their minds and in their heads and in their hands. They've seen it. They know what it is, and they can tell you. Whenever I first started preaching, I'd call Don Pennington. I'd talk to Jim Hobbs. I'd talk to Joe Wilson. I'd talk to Dan Phillips. That's four people, the first four people I called. And I had great confidence in them, and they were older than me, and they had seen some things. And they knew some things. And I think, my, I don't want to get off on something. I'm going to call and make sure I'm right on this. You know, that worried me. That bothered me. But, you know, nowadays, are there any young preachers that want to call and ask an old preacher, how do you do this and what do you do about that and am I right? Not very often. They know it all. I tell you to learn. I used to get in a group of old preachers at a Bible conference and I wouldn't say a word. I'd sit there for hours and not say one word. Just listen. I was going to get every bit of information I could off these men. It's valuable. Which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We're not going to hide anything. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done, for He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded in our commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Now you go back in the Old Testament and you look at the law of God. You look at all the commandments of God and all the thou shalt not do's and thou shalt not say. You look at all those. You're looking at some things that are, with a lot of people, considered controversial to even talk about. No, we ought not to bring these things up. We ought not talk about these things. You know. Well, here I read, and they should make them known to their children. Well, you know, when you and I were growing up, some of us, there's a lot of things that are going on now you couldn't even conceive in your mind. You know? I mean, it wasn't even conceivable. But younger people today are exposed to that on the TV and on the internet and others are exposed to all that. And they need the Word of God as to concerning some of these things. Right. Why? Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born. Those children who should arise and declare them to their children. And the truth of the Word of God, all of it is to be passed down from generation to generation.
Amen.
Well, here's this street gang out here, and I don't know what they've been taught. I don't know what they've heard at the house. You know, I thought about that. What might young people hear at the house as far as the man of God is concerned? You ever think about that? Did you ever think about what impact it has on your child or your grandchild all that you say about the man of God. Because this street gang didn't have any respect. Go up there, old bald head. Go up there, old bald head. No respect. Regardless that he was God's man at that time, no respect. Could it be maybe at the dinner table, maybe some talked about Elijah? I don't like Elijah. Or Elisha. Either one. I don't like him. I don't like the way they preach. I don't like what they preach. I don't like their attitude. I just don't like them. You know, young people pick up on things, don't they? And usually if you don't like them, they don't like them either. My dad fought Germans in World War II. They shot my dad. And growing up, I didn't like Germans. And I'd watch these old movies, and every German they could shoot, I was glad. You know, I just didn't like what they did to my dad. I would dare say that there have been the men of God who have faced the wrath or disdain by younger people because what they have heard from their parents. So if you got to talk about the preacher, don't do it in front of the kids or the grandkids. You want to talk about the Word of God, you can talk about anything you want to. Don't put down the preacher. Man, God, I don't know what was on these boys' minds, but you know that could have been the case. And somehow, they've wound up in a street gang, somehow. And here they all are out there, instead of doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're out here mocking the man of God. How were they brought up? Well, maybe we could starve the preacher out. Maybe we could quit paying the preacher and maybe he'll leave. You know that's been said somewhere because that's been done. And the young people think, my goodness, that's pretty rough. Starve them out. Maybe they'll leave. What kind of people are they? You know. Be careful. So, here we have in our text back at 2 Kings chapter 2. Elisha arrives there, Bethel. He's met by this gang, 1 Kings 2 and 23. He arrives there and they begin calling him old bald head. Well, he turns back in verse 24. This is an interesting part of the story. He turns back and he looks on. Oh, beloved, you better be careful with the man of God. Now, he's just a man like any other man is a man in one way of looking at it. But he's also a man that God has said, touch not mine anointed. Be careful. I'm just saying be careful. Be careful. That's our warning. Be careful. Well, not only does he turn and look on them, but he lays a curse on them. A preacher ought to feel at liberty to lay it on the line and say there's a curse out here for rebellion. And saying there's a curse out here. And it's God's curse. Well, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. It's proper what he did. Scriptural what he did. And as soon as that curse was pronounced, there came out two she-bears out of the woods and tear these young men up. The wrath of God was in these bears. So, what were they guilty of? Just calling a preacher bald head. Is that worthy of death? Well, it was more than that. They were obstinate toward the power of God and the man of God and the work of God. Oh, younger people need to be in the Lord's church and working and serving and thriving in their youth for the Lord. Never look at the church as a light thing. And then, as I said, he just went on. Just went on. He had things to do. God had already taken care of this street gang. And he just went on. It was God's will. God help us to be faithful. God help us to pronounce a curse on sin. Cursed is everyone in sin. Pronounce it. Then leave it in the hands of God. That's all we can do. Interesting, true story. And also a warning for all the children of God. Brother Andy, you're